This is kind of, the idea is like family meeting. We're going to talk about where we're headed, where we've been at, where we are at presently, and then getting from here to there, and then Q&A a little bit. And so the goal is to do that in 30 minutes. So I am going to move pretty quickly. Just wanted to respect your time. Before we jump right in, I'm going to pray really quickly. Gracious God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst and how you are building your church. And we just acknowledge that we can't do this on our own, that unless you build it, we build in vain. And so we just invite you, even in this meeting, in the kind of minutia of everyday life and organization, we ask that you would be Lord and govern and direct our time together. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so where are we headed is kind of just, I wanted to take a minute at least to kind of like go back to like, okay, what was the animating vision? What was the idea behind beginning as Church of the Cross? And so we're actually coming up right on a year. It was November 22nd was our last Sunday, those of us who were at Christchurch being sent out by them. And so we're coming up right on a year. So it seems like a good opportunity to take stock. And the vision, really, if you were part of those original conversations, and I know not everyone was, but for those of us who were, kind of the vision that we talked about was being an Anglican church, and what we meant by that was a church rooted in Scripture, guided by ancient practices, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so some of you may have heard like Anglicanism is drawing three streams together, the sacramental stream, the scriptural stream, and the spiritual Holy Spirit, like a charismatic emphasis. And that was kind of like a DNA that was part of Christchurch. And we talked about carrying on the DNA of Christchurch, being a daughter, not a clone, but neither were we like something in total reaction, different from. We were kind of like continuing on in the work of Christchurch. An Anglican church in and for Northeast Austin. And the goal was to be a community that could sustain itself in its life together, that would announce, embody, and demonstrate the gospel. That we would demonstrate and announce and embody that the kingdom of God has come near in Jesus Christ, breaking forth in all the world. And we talked about doing this, that we do this, we announce, embody, and demonstrate as a community by walking on the way of the cross. And so that's where the Church of the Cross came from. Is we were following Jesus, the pattern of his life. And so we talked about that as a way of intimacy with God, a way of celebration, service, humility, and a way of togetherness with company. And so the idea was we want to be this church in and for Northeast Austin, in and for North Austin. And more specifically, I talked about this a little bit, that a goal that we don't control, none of us controls, but a goal that we're working toward is that we would be a community and an institution that exists to do this 20 or 30 years from now. The goal is that Church of the Cross would be a gospel-proclaiming, gospel-embodying, gospel-demonstrating community in Austin, a place of blessing for others in the years to come. So if you're familiar with kind of like the business language, big, hairy, audacious goal, like that's kind of the goal. It's like 30, 35 years from now, we want there to be a church that is faithful to the gospel, proclaiming, embodying, demonstrating it. And then if you like kind of rewind back from that, there are certain things that need to take place that we kind of were like, this seems important. And two things we had talked about that kind of seem on that 5 to 10 year horizon was we've talked about dreaming and praying toward a permanent home, that we would be find a home and a space to be rooted in a community so that just kind of as an expression of our commitment to a community and also just like a place of blessing and utility and of mission for the city. And the other thing we talked about in that same kind of window, 5 to 10 years, was planting another church. And kind of the very early on goal that we had talked about was we want to be a sustainable community, and that, if you think about buying a permanent home, that means growing to a certain size. But the vision is not that this church would get as big as numerically as it possibly could. And we think that there's something about planting other communities that will keep us on the missional edge, keep us kind of like sharp and sacrificial for the sake of God's mission. And if you think about where we came from, as, from Christchurch, they sacrificed so that we could exist. And so we want to kind of continue on. That's part of our DNA. So that's kind of where we're headed, like big goal, but also kind of like, okay, well, how do we start living into these realities of being in a place of gospel embodiment, a place of gospel demonstration and gospel proclamation? So then the next thing I wanted to do is really coming up on a year is take a look back. Where have we been? So November 22nd, we had met for a number of months, just the launch team, the original group that came from Christchurch, had met, dreamed, planned, prayed, kind of figured out our way. We found this place. I think we found this place in September of last year, and it was like a total, just, it was, seemed miraculous because we none of us knew this place existed. And since that time, we began worshiping Sunday, November 29th, 2015, Thanksgiving Sunday, which in hindsight was maybe not the best idea, but it was turned out really well, and it was a fantastic Sunday. We started Advent 1, so this church year. Since that time, we did Christmas Eve, the Feast of the Incarnation. There were about 90 people here worshiping here. In January, we launched neighborhood groups. Kind of the things we had talked about were Eucharistic worship gathering in our neighborhoods. And so neighborhood groups, four of them launched in January. And we've added a fifth, and there's a possibility of a couple more multiplying in the seasons to come. We went through a couple sermon series. We did Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Revelation, Galatians. Most recently, we did Jeremiah, looking at what does it mean to live faithfully in troubling times. We had a whole number of potlucks, part of living into that celebration. And so we had a potluck our second Sunday of Advent. We had a grand opening on January 31st. If you remember, there's 190 people, and that was kind of a taste of like, oh, wow, what might God be doing in our midst? And we had a meal of brisket afterward. We had a Pentecost potluck where we kind of celebrated our diversity, and we're kind of pushing into this value of celebration. In the past year, believe it or not, we've had 16 baptisms from children all the way to young adults. And so that's just been an amazing kind of gift of God in our first year. We've had two weddings. The last one was just a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. I couldn't remember how many babies we've had born, but we've had a number of babies born, and we have a number of them coming, like even more coming, so which is awesome. We had talked about doing three things, Eucharistic worship, gathering in our neighborhoods, and serving our city or serving our neighbors. And in terms of service to our neighbors, we partnered with Young Life at LBJ Lhasa to provide a meal for one day. We ran the Alpha program as kind of a pilot project just to see how this works. We've been connected with this family of Syrian refugees, and we took up a special offering for them. We raised $3,000 for them, and with that money, we've been able to buy beds for their children. Someone from the church donated their car, and we're just in the midst of finalizing that. And they have been a real gift for us, a very practical way that we can, like, oh, we're tangibly called to serve these people. We recently had, like, after service kind of information about Wynn Elementary School, and a number of people in our community are working there, partnering there as parents to kind of help bless that school, and there was a petition for us to sign. And so these are some small ways we're pushing into this value of serving our neighbors, serving our city. And I kind of just wanted to quickly outline that stuff, and there's more that could be said, and you might even have stories in your own life of like, oh, this is the way something God has done in my life in the church in the past year, and the church has been a part of that, and that'd be worth celebrating. And chiefly, I just wanted to like catalog that really quickly, to take a moment to praise God, like to publicly thank God for his goodness to us. Talking with other people who have been parts of church plants, like we have been really blessed in our first year. And much of that has to do with the generosity of other communities, Christ Church and other people and other churches in our diocese who have financially supported us. But also just God's favor has been with us. And that's something we don't deserve, but we're really grateful for. And the other thing I wanted to do is to say thank you to all of y'all, because you guys have committed to this thing in a very real, tangible way. And it has blessed me personally, and it is a blessing. Just even seeing the people who were here new, people as they come in are blessed that we are becoming an established church. And that has to do with your sacrificial generosity. It has to do with your sacrificial service. And so I just want to thank you for that. And already that, as we talk about gospel embodiment, that means service to one another, service for one another, for the building up of a church. And so the culture that's being laid of terms of being willing to help tear down, being willing to grab something even though you're not scheduled, or being willing to give sacrificially is like, that's all kind of part of it. And so just as the priest of this community, I am really thankful for y'all and thankful for your willingness to do these kind of things. All right, so where are we at? Where are we at? We're still very young, and I'm going to say that till I'm blue in the face. We talked when we started out, we're going to be a newborn baby, we're going to do basic things, we're going to do them clumsily. And you think about a one-year-old baby, still doing basic things, still pretty clumsy. And so that's kind of where we're at. The last time I gave this kind of conversation was on Pentecost Sunday, and I kind of talked about this analogy of cruising altitude, like the idea of launching a plane while you're building the plane. Like that's kind of the metaphor to have in mind of like, oh, there should be seats there, or that hole shouldn't exist there. It's like, yeah, we got to do that as we're moving. And that's kind of the idea. And I talked about getting to cruising altitude, that a plane, after it's taken off, the takeoff point for us was kind of January 31st. But then there's this moment in time before you get to cruising altitude. And there's some things like vision and planning that you don't make until you're at cruising altitude. There's some decisions you don't make. And so there's some things that we don't yet know because we're not yet at cruising altitude. And the other thing about getting to cruising altitude is that a plane expends a lot of energy getting to cruising altitude. It's like the main thing once it takes off is it's got to get to 30,000 feet or whatever cruising altitude is as quickly as possible, and it expends a lot of energy. And that's kind of, we're in that moment. And I talked in May, we're a lot closer to cruising altitude than we thought we would have been. And we are really, really close in a lot of ways. But I would say we're not yet at cruising altitude. And you might be like, well, like, how do you define cruising altitude? And there are qualitative things. There's like feel things of, do we have a sense of being together? Are newcomers finding a place and having a sense of being shared mission, a shared vision of like, this is what it means to be a part of Church of the Cross. And I think we've come a long ways in that regard, but there's still probably more work to be done in that regard. There's just the relational sense of being together. We've made a priority of sharing meals in this first year because we think relationally that does something. There's glue. And so these are some of the like qualitative measures. I mean, are we able to pull off Sunday morning? Are we able to like have a Sunday morning Eucharistic service is part of it. And I think like that one, we're there. Like I think we do a really good job on Sunday morning. But then there are also some quantitative measures, right? Like, are we able to pay our bills? Are we able to be financially self-sustaining? And even in terms of attendance, like where are we at in that? And so I think if you go to the next slide, this is our attendance, actually, over since we started in December of last year. So that doesn't include November 29th. And you can kind of see where we were at leading up to the summer and then the summer. And I have a church planning friend who like planted a church about 12 years ago, and he was like, the first summer will kill you. Like, you'll just be like, where did everyone go? And so there was like a predicted dip. But actually, I was really surprised. I was like, oh, I'm still alive. I'm not dead. And it didn't like affect me in a big way. And we've kind of come back in August and September, we're kind of back to where we were before the summer. And that's really exciting. And we've seen new people coming in and finding their place, and that's really exciting. We don't have October up there, but the general kind of consensus we talked about the numbers was probably similar or slightly above. And so we're back there, but one of the things I had mentioned about cruising altitude was the idea of getting to like 150 people. And we're not a church that, I'm not a person that's all about numbers, that needs numbers in order to feel good about myself, or that we need to be, we're not a real church until we have certain numbers. But there is something about getting to 150 people that kind of creates a level of stability and a level of kind of opportunity that we can then do some things that we can't do when we're below that number. And so we're on our way and we're almost there, which is really exciting. One of the things that we're probably going to be doing, you may have already noticed this, is we've been sticking out some more chairs every Sunday. And that's because there's like all these interesting stats that if a room is like 75% full or 80% full and a newcomer enters, often they're like, oh, no room for me here. And they just kind of like check out mentally. And so we're going to be putting out more chairs. And also because we have an epic, I could say this, I'm going to say this all the time. We have an epic amount of children. We have an insane amount of kids here. And they leave for part of the service. But it's not like those chairs all of a sudden become available for people. Like those chairs still need to be used for our kids. And so we're going to be sticking out some more chairs. And that's also just a reminder to us of like, oh, who might I bring? Who might I bring to fill this chair? And we're probably going to do some things, some celebratory things that'll be another, like, invite people you know to come to participate in the life of the church. And again, the vision is not to be a big church, but the vision is to be stable and sustaining. And really, the vision is that we want to invite people that they might encounter the goodness of God in our midst, that they might meet Christ. The other thing is kind of financially, where are we at? And I think this is the next slide. And so this kind of shows our giving. The green bars are each month the kind of giving we've gotten. And the orange line has been our expenses, where our expenses were at this past year. And I had talked about kind of getting to $200,000 as kind of, oh, that's like self-sustaining. And we're at the point, I think, are we right there or are we almost there? We're above $200,000. And so we're right there. So that's like, praise God, thank you to all of you for your generosity and your contributions. We're there in terms, if that was the only barometer of cruising altitude, we would be there. Our recurring expenses are hovering around $18,000. If giving remained flatlined in this coming year, we've anticipated kind of continued growth, and so we've budgeted a little bit beyond. That's why that orange line kicks up there. In this coming year, we have some things we feel like God might be calling us to do, and so the budget has kicked up a little bit. And so if we stayed plateaued, we would run a deficit. However, you can't see it on there. We have about $180,000 in the bank. And that's money that we fundraised that was given generously to us. And so kind of the vision is that we will grow so we don't run a deficit, but we have a little bit of a safety valve, a little bit of an operating reserve if we need it. Um, yeah, I realize these slides are not super easy to see, so we can send them out if need be. The next slide is our budget. This is the budget for 2017. So our bylaws stipulate, we have bylaws, believe it or not, stipulate that our fiscal year is from September to August. And so this past summer, the finance team kind of like put together a budget for this coming year. And so this breaks down kind of where we're at. And you see the biggest chunk is salaries. And so salaries, that's salaries and benefits is $147,000. That's not entirely to me. That includes about four people. That includes Will, who runs our sound. That includes Carrie, who's our part-time administrator. And that includes Tyler and Krista, who are paid a stipend for leading us in worship, because that's beyond kind of just an everyday volunteer role. There's a lot going into that. And that includes then, that's the salary and my benefits makes up the bulk of that. And that's kind of a holdover from Christchurch, actually. And it involves my salary, retirement contributions, and insurance benefits. And we've been on Christchurch's kind of program up until this point. And so we're exploring how do we save money around insurance in particular, because Christchurch had a really expensive plan. And so we're looking at that. And so the hope is that there's some play there in that number. The other thing is facilities is the next really big one. And it is not cheap for us to worship here. We pay $3,500 a month. And so four Sunday months or five Sunday months are $3,500. And so that is the majority of that $51,000. We feel like our lease is coming up at the end of November. That would be a full year since we've been here. The general kind of thought has been we're going to stay here for another year. We feel like God has blessed us, and it's been conducive to growth. It's conducive to Anglican worship. It's centrally located. One of the drawbacks for us is it's not located in a neighborhood, and so we have to be creative as we think about missional opportunities. If we were in a school, there would be like missional opportunities right at our doorstep, and we don't have that. But so the idea is to stay here for another year. The last thing I'll point out about this is we have the missions giving at the bottom, and that is about 5% of our budget. That's not where we want it to be. We want it to grow and to increase. And included in that is some just undesignated missions giving. We're also giving to our diocese. All the churches in our diocese tithe to our diocese. We received money from our diocese, and we receive benefit from them in terms of like online giving and all this kind of stuff. So we pay back to them as kind of an expression of gratitude and also participation in the mission. The last thing I'll say is if you have like further questions, we have a more detailed budget breakdown. And if you have any questions whatsoever about these things, you're more than welcome to come chat with me. We are more than happy to like make that available to you. And so don't be shy about that at all. And then I also wanted to say that John Porter has been the one who has kind of like composed these numbers of his own volition, of his own time, and it's just been an amazing blessing. And one of the things we're going to be talking about moving forward is kind of some structured roles. And so I just wanted to kind of let everybody know that John has agreed to be our treasurer moving forward, and he's just going to bless us in that way. Yeah. I also say that if you do have questions, go talk to John. Okay, and so the budgeting for 2017 is really kind of one of the steps in like how do we get like from here to there? How do we move into the future? And so one of the things is staying here. The decision is staying here because we think like this place has been conducive to growth. We're rooted here. We don't want to move again. And so that's part of like, okay, how are we pressing into that goal of being a sustainable community that embodies the gospel? There are some other things that I'll talk through. Budget, our participation, our individual role, corporately what we're going to be doing, and then specifically an interim parish council that we're forming. And so our participation, one of the things I just wanted to kind of, from time to time, I've issued this call to us as a body, and this, if we're kind of on cruising altitude, getting to cruising altitude, the kind of continued investment and expansion of energy is required of all of us, actually. And I really kind of, I was trying to think of like alliteration, and so I came up with four P's of what like this might look like. And the first one would be like present, or priestly. And the idea is I would just really invite you guys, as we talk about being a community that follows Jesus on the way of the cross, that announces, embodies, demonstrates the gospel, the vision is not that we just do that when we're together, but that the arena of our lives is where that's played out. And if you think of Romans 12:1, it's like present your lives, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys to, in your own lives, be thinking about what does it mean for me to follow the way of the cross? What does it mean for me to announce, embody, demonstrate the gospel in my place of work, at my CrossFit gym and my soccer team and all these other kind of places of engagement? And I think as we're each individually asking the Lord for direction in that, I'm really excited for the creativity and kind of like what might emerge out of that. And the priest, the idea of being priestly is like we are all called to be priests. We're all called to be moderators, mediators of God's grace to the people around us. And so I just wanted to encourage us all to be living into that reality. The second one was presence. Not present, but presence. And that's just to say it matters. Like your presence at Sunday matters. You might be able to go to a larger church where no one will notice, but we notice when you're not here. And one of the beauties of kind of Anglican worship and being the size that we are is that it matters when you're not here, and that's actually reality. It really matters for you. If we talk about, so I know a number of you have asked questions like, what does it mean to be an Anglican? Well, there's in our catechism, it outlines the Anglican way of life, and number one in the way of life is weekly participation in Eucharist. And the idea is not so the priest can feel good about himself and like full pews and all that kind of stuff. But the idea is you get something by being here that you cannot get any other way. You can listen, I guarantee you, you can listen to better sermons on podcasts than you'll hear here on Sunday. But you will not get what you would have by being present in our midst. And it matters to us, like to those of us who feel like, oh, people aren't here. And I know life happens, so don't feel like any, we're not going to start taking attendance or anything like that. But I just wanted to encourage you to like press into presence and being here. The third one was participation. Some of you will know like that adage that like usually at a church, 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. We don't have that luxury. We need help. We need service. We need to be serving one another. And there's just stuff like family chores that just need to get done. Like no one, I can guarantee you, no one's spiritual gift is setting up sound equipment. But it's got to be set up. It still has to be set up. And so they were in the bulletins in the inserts, but we have these serving team kind of cards, and maybe I'll just pass these out, and you got pens in that thing. And if you're like, oh, I'm not serving, or I've been for a couple of months, what's something I could do? There's opportunities here. If you're like, oh, I'd really like to do something else, you write that down and let me know. You can put it maybe we could say you'll put it on this table over here by the kitchen door. So I'll pass these out. So participation is a big part of it. So present, priestly, presence, participation. And then the last thing I was going to say was just in prayer. If you could be in prayer for us as Church of the Cross. As I opened, like, I'm regularly reminded that we don't do this on our own, that we don't make this happen, but we need God's Spirit, we need His direction. And I totally am blatantly ripping this off from another church that I know of, but they kind of, I'm going to send this out on the e-news as well, but they had this call that, like, everyone set a reminder on their phone for 12:12. And as soon as that reminder went off, everybody just knew, wherever they were in the day, just a really quick prayer. Would you pray for Church of the Cross at 12:12? And a prayer, pray that we would be fruitful for God's kingdom, that we would be faithful to His call upon us, and we'd be rooted and established as a community of blessing. So just short prayer, set your alarm or reminder for 12:12 wherever you're at. And even if it's silent, you can just pray silently as well. That's allowed. So we want to be people praying around this. So present, priestly presence, participation, and prayer. Corporately, what are we going to be doing in the coming year? I'll be real quick here, but as we think about like kind of getting to cruising altitude, we will kind of continue to do some of these things where it's like invite everybody you know or that are like low bar entry points where we can invite people and it not be too difficult for them to press into the life of community. If we talked about doing those three things, Eucharistic worship, gathering in our neighborhoods, and serving others, we have some creative ideas for how we might press in as a church into serving others and serving our city, and specifically how we might look at kind of empowering one another to do that in our individual lives. Like, we're all called to be servants of the city in our vocations and wherever we're placed. And so a couple of things we're looking at in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be announcing this thing called the Good Neighbor Fund. Some of us have talked about it, but it's basically a way for a member of the church to apply on behalf of someone they know who needs financial relief. And the idea is you could apply on their behalf and the church would give money for someone who's had a car accident or their roof has caved in or something like that. And the idea behind that is actually that it would help us have vision, give us eyes to see our neighbors, to see those around us. And so we'll be talking about that. We're going to be handing out a survey asking what are the things that you're already involved in or what are you passionate about? What is the Lord already doing in our midst that we might kind of like press into further? So we want to grow in kind of serving others and serving our city and being a place of blessing, a community for the sake of others. And then the third thing we're going to press into is just kind of being a teaching community. One of our values is transformation. And so we want to kind of press into this idea of being formed in Christ-likeness, having the mind of Christ, having relational patterns that are healed and restored, and having our desires aligned with him. And specifically, I know I've said this a couple times this morning, but a number of people have been like, what does it mean to be Anglican? Like, what does this look like? And so that actually is something we really want to press into and talk about. This is what it means to be an Anglican community. This is what it means to participate in Anglican church. This is what Anglicans believe. So that's something we're going to be working on. And the idea actually often, the idea around that will be working toward what's called confirmation. That if you want to be confirmed and be like, oh, I'm a part of this community, I'm a part of the Anglican stream, the idea is you get confirmed and you go through kind of a course of study and you learn about what it means to be an Anglican. And that's actually really exciting because it's a way of being shaped and formed in the gospel. But it's also really necessary because we actually need to have a membership in the life of our community. We need to have people who are like, oh yeah, I am a member of Church of the Cross. And as you think about us being incorporated, being a 501c3 and all those kind of things, that's a necessity that we have. And so that's something we're looking at in the coming year. Let me just say, like, we want to form people in Anglicanism, not because the goal is to make Anglicans. We want to form people in Anglicanism because we think it's a really good way to follow after Jesus. It's by no means the only way to follow Jesus, but it's the way of our tradition, and it's a good way. So the idea is as people grow and learn about that, they're formed in Christ. Okay, so those are a couple things. Corporately, continuing to kind of like invite others in, growing in our capacity to serve others, growing as a community of formation and teaching. How are we going to do this? One of the biggest things that we're going to be, that was kind of the reason we called this meeting, is we're formalizing what's been informal up to this time in a certain way. When we started planning this church, our bishop, Todd Hunter, was like, do not form any kind of council or vestry in your first year. You don't yet know who you are. You don't yet know who, like, people like that have emerged is like, oh, like, these are the people who would be appropriate for that in this season. And I chatted with our bishop a couple months ago, and he was like, I think you probably should form that now, like, or be thinking about forming that moving forward. Up to this point, we've had the finance team. That's been Bruce Hillsby, John Porter, and Sarah Siegler Funderburg. Glad I got that right. And they've served kind of like the giving, they've processed giving, they've been helping with budgetary decisions and like okaying expenses and all that kind of thing. And then also outside of the finance team, there's been a group of people that I've just like relationally connected to that I've been like, oh, like I would go to them informally and be like, hey, what do you think? And how are things going? And kind of like this general conversation. And the reason I would do that is there's wisdom in like a multitude of counsel, and I am not kind of like your classic type A, like, there's the mountain, let's go take it, here's how we're going to take it. I'm more like, that's a mountain, let's talk about it. And like, and that has some weaknesses. And so I need help, and I need counsel. And so we are forming what we're calling the interim parish council. Now, this requires getting into a little bit of Anglican polity. So in Anglican polity, there is not like the elder board that a lot of us have experience in church. The people who are on the vestry or the parish council, depending on what you call it, are not biblically what we would think of as elders. That's the priest. The priest is considered the elder. The parish council and the priest is under the authority of the bishop. So like if there's an issue, if I do something that's morally questionable, if I start teaching stuff that's morally questionable, you're like, man, that's, yeah, you're like, no, you don't have to be Canadian to be saved. Like, if I start saying that kind of stuff, the recourse is the church goes to the bishop, and I am under the bishop's authority, and the bishop is called to, like, rein me in or discipline me or whatever way that is. But then from the congregation, there's the vestry or parish council, and this is a body of people that emerge from the church, that emerge from the laity in the church, and their primary responsibility is the budget, is fiduciary responsibility, is these five people okay the budget. And so the idea is that the rector or the priest is kind of like the spiritual, like setting the spiritual direction under the authority of the bishop, kind of saying, this is what we should do. But in order for that vision to be actualized, he's got to get together with the parish council, and they've got to talk and agree, because the parish council says, yeah, there are the funds for that. That's a good thing to do. Let's do that. Let's go ahead with that. And so the two have to work in concert. We're forming a council for this reason, is it seems time and necessary to do that. There are decisions that I do not want to be making alone. We're going a little bit beyond that. Beyond just the budget, though, this group actually, we're calling it the parish council because I need counsel. There are situations that will come up. There are questions about how the church is doing that it really blesses me to have the voice of other servants, other people who are wise. And then we're doing it, actually, a third kind of thing that they'll do is just doing the work of the church. If you're at a larger church, often it's the staff that like, oh, who? That's a good idea. Someone should make that happen. It's a staff member that makes it happen. I'm the only full-time staff member, so I can't make it all happen. And so this parish council is also going to be kind of like doing the stuff of ministry, doing the work of ministry to a certain degree. So those three things, fiduciary, budgetary responsibility, being good counsel to me, helping keep me accountable, helping me know where the Lord is leading us, and doing the work of the church. We're calling it interim because this council will serve for 1 year alone. Our bylaws set out a 3-year term for a parish council or vestry. We're starting with this 1 year because we're still kind of in formation. We're still really young. And the idea is that there'll be 5 people on this council. Some might continue on past that first year, but 2 or 3 of them will come off, and 2 or 3 new people at the end of this year would come on. And that way we would get staggered terms. We would get people who've been on for 3 years and the people who have started in year 2 so that it doesn't come 3 years from now, the whole council changes over, but that there's some continuity and institutional memory and stability. In our polity, in our bylaws, it's set out that this parish council the parish council nominates the next members of the parish council, and then that council is those candidates are voted upon in a slate fashion by the membership. So next year at this family meeting, there'll probably be a slate of people that will like vote yay or nay on yes, we agree they should be on the parish council. At this point, we don't have membership. And so this has simply come out of conversation and prayer with our bishop, with Cliff Warner, who is the rector at Christ Church, who sent us out, with the finance team, and with a group of other kind of trusted leaders in the congregation, just to kind of have conversation. We've taken a number of weeks to kind of pray and think about it. And so that's kind of the idea. And I wanted to kind of announce this morning, like, who's on that. So in addition to myself and John and I will participate on the parish council, but neither of us vote on the parish council. The 5 people that we're adding, why don't you stand up? This would be super awkward, but I'll invite you to stand. So the people on that council are Paul Van Allen. Go ahead, Paul. Shirley Woford. Blake Matthews. Bruce Silsby. And Angela Wong. And Angela's in London right now. She's like away out of town for the next couple of weeks. But this council will really be starting in January. And so she'll be back in time for that, and she's agreed to be part of the council even so. And so I just wanted to let you know who these 5 are. These people kind of came out, their names emerged out of a lot of prayer and conversation as people who are already actively serving in the life of the church, who are on board, who like embody much of the vision and values of the community we aspire to be, and are people of really high integrity in their love for the Lord and love for the church. And so I just wanted to commend them to you and also ask that you'd be praying for them as servants of this community in the year ahead. So we'll be praying for y'all. All right. I told you it'd be awkward. So that is, we're over time already. It's 12:35. But that was kind of the main business, giving you all the budget and talking about the parish council. The last thing I'll say about the parish council is one of the big things, the task that they'll be doing in this coming year is kind of like pressing into the vision of like, our bishop put it this way, it was like, to what end might you be a viable church? Like, because he's like, what's the vision for the church? And I was like, honestly, up until this point, it's just been like surviving and becoming viable. And he was like, amen. And then he was like, so now the question might be like, to what end? Like, what is God calling you to do? And specifically, that question has to do with, we've been blessed out of the generosity of others. We have about $180,000 in the bank. And we don't want to be a church. The goal is not to be a church with a lot of money in the bank. The goal is to be a church that is a place of blessing and gospel mission and proclamation. And so one of the big questions this parish council will be looking at is, might we be called in some way to invest those funds in the mission of the church and further establishing the church in the growth of the church? The last thing, this is the very last thing, I know I've said that a couple times, that I'll say is, Krista is here. Is Tyler still here? I think he might have had to run. But Tyler and Krista have done amazing work in shepherding us musically and leading us in worship. Yeah. I personally am really, really grateful to them for, like, they've been partners in this work. It's meant a lot to me. We've had a conversation kind of in the middle of October, and both Tyler and Krista have callings beyond leading us in worship, and they've done such a good job of kind of getting the team to where we're at that the conversation was kind of like, I think this might be a job beyond what both Tyler and Krista can do. And so we're actually going to be posting a job for a part-time director of worship team leader. And so I wanted to let y'all know so that you could, and I'm thankful that both Tyler and Chris have said they want to continue to be involved in serving in this area, but both of them have callings in other areas of life that are going to keep them from being able to do that fully. And so we're going to be posting that, so if I ask if you could be in prayer, if you know of someone, you can share that application with them or share that information with them. And this is not an imminent thing, but we've got a little bit of runway, and so that's just the last thing I wanted to share about that.